Walk me through that day as you remember it.
All right. February 4th, I had the day off from work. I work for an environmental consulting company, and usually I'm scheduled out 3 to 4 days a week for field work. So that day I didn't have any field work scheduled. So around 11:30, I decided that I was going to go up and go for a run up in Lori and then into Horsetooth. So I drove up to Lori. I parked my truck at the Arthur's Rock parking lot, and from there started my run. So my plan was to run the South Valley Trails going south and then link up with Towers Road kind of toward the Soderberg parking lot area of Horsetooth. So from there I started the climb. It was one of those things where I was pretty nervous because Towers is just kind of a punch in the gut for like a run. It's a little over 3 miles at just 9% incline on average, so it's a good workout, and it was just one of those runs where I was trying to see how good my degree of fitness was. So going up the run, my primary concern the whole time was the ice, because I had a friend who was telling me of a coworker of his who had just recently broke his leg running on Towers, so I was just being very mindful of my footing and just kind of the grade of everything in general. Once I got to the top of Towers, after a pretty breathtaking grind up, I took in the views. So if you've been up there, it's pretty fantastic. You can see everything in a 360 panorama. Look out and see Fort Collins to the east, and look to the west, and you can see the just the mountain ranges kind of lying in succession after that. So after that, I decided that I was gonna cruise south toward Horsetooth, the actual peak. As I was doing that, I was going along what's called, on some maps it's called Pirate Trail, but others call it West Ridge. So I was going toward West Ridge, toward Horsetooth Rock, but the trail was a little bit icy, so I decided that I was just gonna turn back, and I remember seeing another spur for West Ridge that was going kind of at a lower elevation around the east side of Towers, so just underneath the summit and kind of like circling the peak itself. And it was then, it was probably about a quarter mile, half mile into that trail, and I just kind of heard some pine needles rustling behind me, and I stopped and turned. And it's one of those situations where sometimes I turn, sometimes I don't. Maybe 7 out of 10 times I do. But usually it's a deer or a squirrel or a rabbit. But kind of in the back of my mind, I always wonder if it's something dangerous, like a bear or a bobcat or a mountain lion. And in this case, it was, in fact, a mountain lion. And so I remember seeing that and just having my gut just feel the full impact of the situation. And then,
what did you see when you turned around? Like, what did you see when you turned around?
So when I turned around, I saw a mountain lion chasing after me, and it was probably about 20 feet from me at that point. So right then I knew, just from talking to various people and reading through various wildlife articles, that you have to make a lot of noise and present yourself in a large way to kind of scare away the attack, and then really just convince it that you're not prey for the lion. And so I threw my arms up and I started screaming, hoping against hope that it would just veer off, turn around, and leave me alone. Unfortunately, it kept running, and then it eventually just lunged at me. And at that point, I was able to get my arms up kind of in front of my face and block its initial like lunge with its claws and mouth. So at that point, it just kind of started scratching. Its jaws locked onto my hand and wrist and pretty much stayed there the whole time. While I was doing that, it was scratching also all over my face. So most of my scars on my face are a result of its claw scratching. It got a claw inside my lip and scratched the inside of that, and then just up around my face and neck too. And then its claws kind of dug into my back a little bit, so there's a few puncture wounds back there, and then along my leg. So it was just really kind of grappled on around me, almost like in a bear hug fashion a little bit. So what I try to do when I was wrestling with the cat, I try to throw it off of me, off the trail. The trail was kind of banked downhill to the south, so as I tried to throw it, it still stayed latched, and it kind of took me with it. So we ended up sliding down the hillside that was mostly just pine needles, so pretty slick and like an uneven footing surface. So having slid down, we...
How far down would you say that you fell off the trail?
I think it was about 20, 25 feet from the trail that we slid. And this is one of those parts that I don't really fully remember. I don't know how we got that far. It just seemed like I tried to throw it and we may have gone a few feet off. But yeah, looking back, it could end up being a lot more than that. So at that point, we're still kind of wrestling and thrashing. But during that fall, the cat ended up on its back. And it still had my wrist this whole time in its mouth, and it was kind of thrashing at me with its front and back claws. And because I'm a recent cat owner, I know that the back claws are pretty dangerous when it comes down to an attack, and I was pretty worried about its claws just sinking into my stomach and just kind of groin area, so it was just going crazy. So one of the things that I was able to do was use my left leg to pin its back legs down a little bit. I put a lot of weight on the back so I could have the claw, the legs flopped over to like the east side, and it wasn't scratching so much. And then it was still kind of thrashing and scratching with its front claws, and I was trying to deflect those with my left hand, but also in the meantime, I was grabbing sticks and just whatever I could find. And I was trying to shove a stick into its windpipe just to get it to release. Unfortunately, all the sticks were dry rotted and they kept breaking. And then reaching around and looking around, I found a rock. And I found a pretty big rock, and I was able to kind of hit it on the back of the head. Unfortunately, the angle was kind of weird because my right arm is still locked in its jaws and it's still biting. It's like grinding my ligaments a little bit. You can hear it kind of grinding. And I was hitting in the head with the rock, and it stunned it, but it started thrashing a little bit more, and its back legs got free at that point, and it scratched the back of my calves, and then some more on my thighs a little bit. And I was able to repin the back legs, and then finally I was kind of able to reposition my right leg, and I got my right foot onto its neck, and then I was able to get some weight onto its windpipe, and that's what eventually suffocated it. And then at that point it released my hand. And I was able to kind of run back up the hill, and I looked back down to see if there was going to be any chase possibility, but the cat was still, so I started my run out.
Wow.
Yep. So the run out, I was still on Westridge. I was really reluctant to head back up the way that I came in case there was another cat. I guess it's important to mention too, one of my primary concerns during the whole fight was that there's gonna be a mother cat around. So the first time it latched onto me, I was just thinking, I was looking around and trying to take in to see if there was a mother at any point, because I feel like there's one kind of rule in nature, it's like don't get between a mother and her kids, so.
And you could tell that this was a younger.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just by the way that it was kind of moving and the size, I could tell it was not a full grown cat.
Right.
And so on the run out again, I was just kind of looking around and just feeling like I was being watched by cats on all sides, because I really took in my surroundings a little bit more and then realized that the whole west side of the trail was filled with rock overhangs and just kind of prime mountain lion territory. So I don't know how fast I ran. It seemed fast, but I probably was just kind of like limping along and cramping up. But I was able to get off of that trail. That was my big goal at that point, was to get off of the small like single track trail and get on Towers again, because it's at least open, a little bit more open. It's a 4x4 trail. And I just felt a sense of security there. So I finally made it to Towers and then kind of started breathing a sigh of relief. I was really hoping that I would encounter somebody pretty soon. So I just started running down, going down a little bit, as I had said earlier. I was a little bit pepped up and I started slipping on the ice. And in the back of my mind, I remembered the broken leg from the friend of a friend. So I decided that it wouldn't be good to add insult to injury. So I had to kind of check my adrenaline a little bit and slow my roll and say, all right, you've just survived a mountain lion attack. Take it easy. Just make it down. And so I kind of kept jogging down, like replaying the events and just thinking how crazy it was and how fortunate and lucky I was to have gotten out of it and still be able to run and really not feel too much worse for the wear. I mean, I was bleeding like crazy at this point, but nothing to the point where I was seeing spurts that were any sort of like torn blood vessels or arteries, which was great. So about 2 miles down, running down Towers, that's when I encountered another runner who was coming up. So from a distance, I asked him, like, hey, do you have a cell phone? He said no, and he was pretty concerned with his footing because it was icy, but then he looked up and then just saw my blood-smeared face and then asked what had happened. And I just kind of quickly told him that I was attacked by a mountain lion, and we got into a wrestling match, essentially, and then I was able to get out and then started running down, and he started jogging down with me, just kind of kept talking to me the whole time, and just was making sure that I was okay. I said, yeah, I'm fine, just a little shaken up and bleeding, but not too badly. So we jogged down, and then maybe another half mile down, we ran into another couple that was hiking up. And so as they're making their way up, they kind of looked up and they saw my blood-smeared face and asked what was going on. And I asked if they had a cell phone. And they said, yeah, they do. And I told them that I was attacked by a mountain lion. And so I think that they were able to potentially call either a park ranger, I'm not exactly sure, or PVH. I wasn't paying too much attention. They offered me some water, and I drank some water, and that was pretty great. And so from there, we ran down and then went to the Soderberg parking lot. I was with the first guy that I met going up. His name was Spencer. Kind of sitting by his car, drinking some water, waiting for the couple that we had run into later, Noah and Rachel, to come down and meet us in the parking lot. And once they got down, they were really great and asked if I needed an ambulance called. I said that I didn't really feel like I was in that bad of shape. I just had some gashes on my face and some minor bleeding, and my wrist was a little bit sore from where the cat had latched on, but nothing felt serious. And so they offered to kind of split up and have Rachel drive me to the hospital while Spencer took Noah to go get my truck that was over at Lori. And so hopped in the car with Rachel, and then she drove me to PVH and just dropped me off at the door to the ER, and then I kind of just walked right in. She was great, and she, I guess, came in and waited with her husband Noah after he dropped off my truck, and they were really concerned and stayed out in the waiting room for probably an hour or 2 hours waiting to see how everything went. And then kind of went in, got cleaned up, and then eventually was able to get stitched up. So, and then from there, I guess I started telling my my story to the various folks in the ER, and at one point one of the nurses called Colorado Parks and Wildlife to report the incident, and they sent one of their officers, and I spoke with him and gave him my account of what had happened
at the emergency room.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
So that's the story.
Let's go back to the attack for just a second. How long do you think it was between when you first turned around and saw the cat following you to the point where you had actually felt like, I've killed it, I can head back down? How long was that?
I would say it'd be about 10 minutes. And I think a lot of that was whenever I finally was able to get a foot on its windpipe. That took a lot longer than I thought I was going to. There's a few times where I thought that it had finally suffocated, but it would suddenly thrash again and then go crazy. And then I would keep on applying pressure and then would think that it was finally gone, and then it would thrash again. And so the last one, I waited quite a bit still. And then when I felt like it was effectively neutralized, that's when I kind of ran back up, and then I looked back down, and then I was certain that it was suffocated.
I mean, 10 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that was going through my head too, since aside from the cat on me, I was really concerned about other cats. So I was thinking that any amount of time that I was wasting was just a notch against me. So I was worried that either there was another cat in range that could hear the scuffle or hear my screams or some noises the cat was making. I don't know if there's like some sort of like throat noise it was making. I mean, its mouth was pretty occupied with holding my hand in it, but yeah, I was really just afraid of another cat kind of coming along. And that kind of that I feel like there was an internal clock ticking, but I just wasn't sure exactly how fast it was.
How were you feeling during all of this? Because 10 minutes is also long enough time to where you can actually be processing what's happening. It's not just like a split second moment.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting, because I feel like I wasn't processing in the beginning. When it first jumped on me, it was very much just fear. And then when it started scratching me, that's when my instinct to fight like really kicked in, because I realized it scratched me right by my nose and how close it was to my eye, and just thought, if this thing scratches my eye out, I'm in a lot of trouble. And it was also just right around my throat too, and I was thinking if it got close to my throat and hit something critical, that'd be pretty troublesome too. So at that point, I just kind of I feel like my adrenaline level went through the roof, and I was just fighting like crazy. So that's when I started trying to throw it off me, and then kind of got on top of it and was able to at least pin it somewhat. And it was in that pinning period that I started processing a little bit more slowly, like you said, and like things kind of slowed down a little bit. I was able to look around and see if I could find sticks. The whole time I was also looking around and scanning to see if I could see any more cats coming. And I was kind of like listening around to see if I would hear any, or see if I heard any cats behind me. So yeah, at that point it was just a way, I was thinking of any way to get the cat to release my wrist. And that I feel like the obvious thing was for me to go for its throat, because I was pretty close to it with my left hand and was able to get some stuff toward it. So it was the crappy sticks and then the ineffective rock. And then eventually I knew that if I was able to actually get some weight on its windpipe, that's what would probably finally do it. And so it was, I mean, I say calm, but it's in huge quotation marks. I mean, it was kind of like a pretty slow processing, but I didn't feel super panicked. I just knew that I had like one task at hand, and that task was to get something on the cat's throat to cause it to suffocate and then get it to release from my hand.
At what point do you think that you realized that you were going to have to kill the mountain lion for you to get away safely?
It was the point when I realized that it wasn't releasing my hand at all, even whenever I hit it on the head with a really big rock. And I figured that was kind of the last straw for any sort of injury to deter it from maintaining its attack. So I was like, well, if I hit it in the head with a rock and it's still latched on, I don't think there's anything else I can do to get it off me without kind of a death as a result.
Right.